Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Hayomi Bava Basra Samay Gimel. We are holding on the fifth line off the top, Pshita. The halach in the following scenario is pretty clear. So we have a fellow who's allocating his assets, whether he's unwell or otherwise. So he says like this, Omar, he declares, Yachloik Ploini Benachasai. I would like my friend Shimon to have a chelik. Yachloik Benachasai. Yachloik means half. He's going to split the property. He's going to get half. In this case, certainly we grant him half palgo. What if he says Tunu chelik instead of Yachloik, which indicates a 50-50 division? He says, Tnu chelek leploini b'nechasei, grant this person a portion, a chelek. How much is that? My. Is it, 50%? Or is it maybe just a drop? We don't know. So what are we meant to do in this case? Amar Ravina Bar Kisi. I'm going to tell you the halacha based on a braisa, which will tell us that he gets half of this amount. So basically, if we're not sure whether it's 50% or perhaps just a shava pruta, so he gets half of that, which is basically a quarter. Because if we're unsure, we give him half. Here comes a braisa, which discusses a similar case. Tashma. Desanya, ha'imer tnu chelek leploini beboir. This fellow owns a cistern, a water storage hole. Okay, so provide this person with a chelek of the bar. What does chelek mean? Half? Or maybe just a small amount, like a revius? Sumchas omer ein pachos mirevia. We have to give him half that amount. Because Sumchas holds, any time we have a suffix pertaining to a mamain, to monetary issues, we go 50-50. So he certainly deserves a revius halog, right? Just a little, cupful. And the question is whether he gets even half of the bar. So we split it halfway. He gets up until half of the quantity between the revius and the 50% mark of the bar. So basically, it's a bit more than a quarter. Ein pachos mirevia. What if he says l'chavis? Give him some water of my boyer to fill up his chavis to feed his animals. Now the chachamim understood. They were bucky. They were proficient in these expressions, and they knew that when you say boyer, you mean the full content of the boyer, unless you say chelik of the boyer, as we just discussed. When you say chavis, typically you need a half of an average-sized bayer to fill a chavis. So the word chavis, by its very essence, indicates half the bayer. Now if you say, give him for the chavis, give him part of the water, part of the chavis, then it's even less than that. Then it's either a half a chavis, or even maybe just a drop, we're not sure. So here, we go down to 50% of that questionable amount. Ein pachis mishminis. So it's no less than an eighth of the entire bar. How do we get to an eighth? So again, if he would say bar, it's the full bar. Fill the chavis, that's half the bar. But if he says, give him for part of the chavis, chelik l'chavis, so it's either the most it can mean is a half a chavis, which is a quarter of the bar. But perhaps it just means even a teeny drop. So we give him just about an eighth, a little bit more than an eighth of the bar, which is 50% of the questionable amount. Likewise, if you mentioned a kidera, give him some water for his cooking, for his pot, Chachamim understood that the kidera requires a quarter, a third of the bar, of an average bar. And since we're not sure if he's giving him a full amount, full third, or maybe just a little teeny bit for the kidera, so we go down to a twelfth of the total bar. right? So again, if he would offer him a full kedera worth of water, it's a third of the bar. He says, give him part of the kedera, so it's no more than half of the kedera. But maybe even just a drop is what he was giving him. So you go down to a half of that, which is a 12th. Ein pachas mitbeit. And finally, tafiach. If you offered him some water for a tafiach, which is some sort of pitcher. And again, Chachamim determined that the tafiach requires a quarter of the water, which is typically found in an average boer. So when they offered him part of the tafiach, it's either half the tafiach or even maybe just a drop for the tafiach. So we're not sure. So you go down to a 16th. How do we get to 16th? Because, as we said, a tafiach requires a quarter of the boer. Half the tafiach is an eighth. But we're not sure whether he even gave him an eighth. Maybe even gave him nothing, so or just a drop. So you go down to just about half the eighth, a little bit more, which is a 16th. Ein pachas mishisha asur. Likewise, in our story, we started with a fellow who gave away his assets, who allocated his possessions. Yachlik pleni b'nechasa. We're not sure, that means a half. But tnu chelak, right? Tnu chelak. We're not sure what that means. It can either mean just a shava pruta, or perhaps he was actually giving away half to this fellow. So you get half of the questionable amount, which is a quarter, a bit more than a quarter of the total. Continues the Gemara. Tanu Rabbanan, we have a brisa as follows. Ben Levi Shemachar Sodal Yisrael. A Levi fellow who typically is granted, you know, the maser rishon from the farm, from the grain. He sold his soda, his farm, to a Yisrael. Now, he'd like to hold on to his maser privileges. He'd like to access the maser that will be given from this property. So what does he do to ensure that he receives the maser? V'amar lois, he tells the buyer, Almanas shemaser rishon sheli. I'm selling you the farm, but on condition. The maser rishon will be given to me. Can he do that? Yep. Maser rishon sheli. V'amar lois, li ulabana. If he adds, well, I want it to be coming to me and or my children, meaning that after my lifetime, I want my children to pick up this privilege. Well, that's what happens. Mace, if he passes away, yitin labana, but goes to his kids. The Imam Allah, he adds as follows, Kol zman sha'asadu zo biyadcha. Well, this condition is only applicable as long as you, the buyer, personally have possession of this field. So in this case, machra, suppose this buyer sold the field to another person and then rebought it from him. V'chazer v'lakcha, he laundered the field. Ein lo'el of klum, now the Levi no longer has this claim because he lost that privilege once his buyer passed on the field. Okay, now, fundamentally speaking, how does this work? How can a seller ensure access to Maser Rishon? It's not yet in existence. It's something coming in the future. Amai, how can you make a deal on something which doesn't yet exist in practical terms? It's not tangible. Ein adam makne davar shelo b'lo'el. One cannot buy, sell, give, take something which doesn't yet exist. Answers the Gemara, given the Amali Almanas from Masrishin Shali, what we understand, we interpret, that when the seller, the Levi, conditioned, stipulated that the Masrishin remains his, he wasn't, you know, just speaking for naught. He expected that condition to take effect. Oh, so how does it take effect? Apparently, what he meant to say was, I'm not just making a personal obligation. I'm excluding the mokim of the master, meaning, basically, I'm selling you the field minus the part of the field which generates the master. That part remains mine. It's a shear. He's leaving it out of the deal. Amar Rish Lakish. Says Rish Lakish. So based on this halacha, we can learn as follows. Hamoicher bayis l'chaveiro. You know, this halacha that just taught us an interesting point, that when a person makes a tanai, he wants it to take effect. He wants it to have significance. So Reuben sells a bayis, a house, to Shimon. Amar Lain, he tells him, Amnas, I'm selling this house to you on condition, should you to hell, you initially. that the rooftop remains mine. Okay, I want to be there. I want to spend my time there. And we're speaking about a gag, an enclosed roof, which has a proper maka of 10 tefachim. Now, if you recall, the Mishnah already told us that the default assumption is that the gag is not going to be included in the home, in the sale. So why did the seller have to take the trouble to point this out? Apparently he was trying to achieve something more than just access to the roof. So he retains the rights to the roof. Asks the Gemara L'mai Hilchasa. So what was he trying to accomplish? If in any case he gets the rooftop, why did he have to speak it out? Rish Lakish was teaching us here that he'll get more than just a standard access to the roof, because the extra stipulation indicates that he wants something more than the accepted standard. And we have two ways to explain what exactly he gets. Rav Zvid and Rav Papa. Rav Zvid Amar Shim Ratza Lohitzi Boziz and Maitzi. What the seller had in mind, it was not only to access the actual roof, he wanted to retain access to the airspace around the house as well, which he just sold to his buyer. He wants to be able to extend his roof, to build some ledges, some porches out over the airspace of his chutz, of the buyer's property. And that's what he meant to say when he made that extra stipulation. I want to hold on to the roof. The roof and its accessories. So without that stipulation, of course he would still access the roof as per our Mishnah. It's not included in the sale, but the fact that he added this tanai indicates that he wants something more than standard. He wants this privilege as well. Rapapa Amar, what he meant to do, what he meant to retain, was as follows. Shem Ratzal Livnes Aliyah Al-Gaba Boina. He meant to say that the Rashbam learns that if the rooftop sort of collapses, he can go and rebuild it. So, in addition to having access to the existing roof, even if the roof collapsed, he can go. The seller has the right to rebuild it and reestablish his usage area, which is a chiddush, which he wouldn't have otherwise. Because without this extra stipulation, of course he would have access to the roof as long as that original roof exists. But he has no right to rebuild it if it collapses. Because the buyer never committed himself to, the next rooftop. As long as this rooftop is here, so my house is going to support your rooftop. But if, the house collapses, you can't just go rebuild it and, reclaim that roof. It's a new existence. But in this case, he does have that right because of that extra stipulation. Asks the Gemara, we fully understand that Rav Zvid's explanation would justify the lashon, the term that Rish Lakish uses, Zoysimeris, which was said in connection to the previous halacha with the Levi, retaining part ownership in that field that he sold to the Israel, which gives him the right to take the Masoretian. And based on that halacha, Rish Lakish introduces another aspect pertaining to the roof as well. Look, when he says, when he adds this tonight, this condition, which he didn't really have to, because it was self-understood that he has access to the roof, the point of adding the condition was to give him shear, to give him some, to retain some ownership rights in the airspace of the chatzar as well. It's a big chiddush. Who says you have a right to go, extend your structure into my airspace? So that's the point of Rish Lakish, Zoyis Emeris. Yep, adding the stipulation is a reflection of this want, of this desire to hold on to part of the property. El Rapapa, my Zoyis Emeris, according to Rapapa, that the whole point was, he retains the right to rebuild if it collapses. I mean, that halacha is not really based on the, it's not really related to the halacha of the Levi with the field, where he retained ownership. You don't need that in this case. Because, as Rashbam explains, the standard halacha is that a rooftop is not included. You have access to the rooftop, right? Now, he didn't have to. Even without stipulation, he has that access. Now, by going ahead and stipulating, that indicates that he wants more access. He wants rebuilding rights. Okay. So that's a pretty straightforward halacha, which Rashbam says we find other places, discussed in other places as well, that by adding and by elaborating, you want an enhanced zechus. You want more access. You want, long-term access. Okay. But still, that's not such a great chiddush that would require us to connect it to the previous halacha of the Levi, who retains part ownership in the field. You don't need that. to justify this fellow's access. So what's the point of Rish Lakish saying Zois Emeris, which seems to connect it to the previous halacha of the Levi, who retained ownership in the field? Kashi, we leave it as a kash. Amar Rav Zudin Nardo, Haiman de Maz ben Le Beis El Chavri. If Reuben sells his house to Shimon, Avagav de Kosav Le Umkav Ruma, even though in the shtar he indicated that he's selling him the depths and the heights, it doesn't mean that he will give him even, let's say, underground tunnel or right or something like that, right? So the umkabaruma, all it does is that it gives the buyer rights to the rooftop, which otherwise the seller would have. You see, there are three levels here, three categories. There's the actual home, the dwelling. Then you have the rooftop, which is not included. Now, by saying umkabaruma, you're including the rooftop as well. But let's say there is some new entity there. There's like a separate feature there. There's a hole, there's a cistern, there's a boiler, a dos, an underground storage area, a tunnel. That's sort of the third level, because it's a separate entity. It has a separate function, separate use. So that's certainly not included. Unless he adds yet another indicator to cover that as well. So again, Haiman de Maz ben Le Beis L'Chavri, when you sell a house, Afagav the Kosav L'Umkav Ruma, even if he stipulates that it covers Umkav Ruma, the depths and the heights, it's not going to cover everything. Rather, sorry, if you want it to cover more things, you want it to cover a boir, an underground dus, all these things, you have to add more. Tzorach L'Mikhtav L'Kanilach, you are requiring me to him ara from the depths of the ara va'ad rum rakia until the heights of the sky. Why? And the Gemara explains, my time. You know why? The umke baruma bistam alaykani. Because when the umke baruma, the rights for the buyer to dig underground, at the umka, the depths. And veruma, the heights. In this case, a reference to the rooftop, which has the maka, right? Bistamalekani. The assumption is that it's not included. It's not the actual house. So when you write umka veruma, you're addressing those features. Ahani umka veruma. So adding the words umka veruma in the shtar covers that as well. It allows the buyer, lemikna umkavaruma, to acquire the umkavaruma, the ability to dig beneath his house, the ability to use the rooftop, which otherwise would not be included. So why do I need more? Oh, I need more than that, because what about the airspace above the house? What about the burr that's already existing beneath the house? That's a third category, a third layer. That's why I go on to add the next phrase as well. The depths of the ground to the heights of the sky. This grants him ownership of the boir and the dus and the mecheles, the underground storage areas, the tunnels. So again, we have three levels, three aspects of this property. We have the actual home, which is standard, that's included. We have the ability to dig on the ground and the ability to use that rooftop. For that you need umkavaruma. And then a step further, let's say there is already a pre-existing underground facility, or what about the airspace above the house? In order to acquire that, you have to have the additional lashon of mitaim ara Vaad Rum Rakia. Okay, so that's Rabdimi Minardo's Chiddush. So that's more Lema Masayele. So perhaps we can prove this point from one Mishnah, and then we're going to try another Raya from another Mishnah. Okay, Veloyes Hadus, Avabishakosali Umkabaruma. Mishnah says, a pre-existing boir, a dus, which happened to be in the ground, inside his property is not automatically understood to be included, even if the seller stipulated umkibaruma. So there you go. It's a writer of dimi. Umkibaruma only addresses the ability to dig, the ability to use the rooftop, but not does not cover the burandos unless you write the extra lashon of the haimara, etc. Now, if we should assume that the standard package includes kavaruma, right? The ability to dig, the ability to use the rooftop. So lihani kavaruma, so why did he trouble himself to write this lashon, which was unnecessary? So the extra phrase, the extra lashon, should cover more, should expand the deal. Lemikna barvedus umachelus. Right? That's the way it works. If you add something which is unneeded, you're trying to cover more. So if we'll assume not like Rav Dimi, the standard package does include underground and the rooftop. He didn't, without writing kavaruma. So then when he goes and he writes kavaruma, apparently he's covering the barvedus and machelus. And the fact that the Mishnah says it doesn't cover. Apparently, it's a writer of Dimi. Says the Lord Kosovo, no, the Mishnah speaking, he didn't write Kavaruma. But perhaps if he would have written Kavaruma, then that in itself would cover even a Boyer and a Dos. Right? So even without that third lashon of Madhaim Ara Vadrumakia. Right? So again, the Kasha was. The Raya was. The Mishnah says Boyer and Dus, which are pre-existing facilities, are not included, even if he writes Kavaruma. That proves Rav Dimi's point. That there are three layers, three levels being discussed. There's the house, there's using the underground or the rooftop, and then there's a question of including some sort of pre-existing facility that already exists underground. That's a total, it's a third level. And standard is just a bias. Kavaruma covers the ability for the buyer to dig or to use the rooftop, but to buy the bar vadus, you have to add that additional lashon of Medhaim Ara, Vadrum Rekia. And this Mishnah proves that point, because it says that even when you write kavaruma, that only addresses the ability to dig or to use the rooftop, but does not cover the existing bar vadus. Says the no, the Lekosavle. Perhaps the Mishnah is speaking that he didn't write kavaruma, but if he would have written kavaruma, that in itself would be sufficient to cover the existing facilities. What do you mean? Va'afa bishul kosavle tani. The Mishnah clearly says that he wrote kavaruma. Hachigam, the Mishnah means afa bishul Lekosavle. Kimishul kosav dami. Just the opposite. Mishnah means to say that it's not necessary to write kavaruma. Even if he didn't write it, it's as though he wrote it. It has the same effect as though he would have written it, because limitkna kavaruma, because in order to include the kavaruma, to the ability to the rights to dig and the ability to use the rooftop, that's automatically included. And limitkna barvedus umachelus, and therefore, in order to get to the next level, to cover, to include even an existing facility. For that, you have to write kavaruma, but that's it. You don't have to write more than that. Because of the kavaruma kani, then he gets it. If he didn't write, he doesn't get it. So there's no writer of dimi. So we have figured that the Mishnah means one thing, but we reinterpret the Mishnah. Reinterpreted the Mishnah in a way which doesn't necessarily support Rav Dimi. Toshmai, here comes another right. The Mishnah says when you sell a bias, it doesn't automatically cover the rooftop, which is enclosed by a 10 tefach railing. This proves Rav Dimi's point, because if we'll assume that the standard package includes even the rooftop, so then why would the Mishnah say that it's not included just because there is a ten tefach railing around it? Why wouldn't it be included? It's just the space above the house. No, says the Gemara, keeping the gavaya asar tefachim chashiv. Perhaps even without writing kavaruma, you get the rooftop, provided it's not a significant, it's not a chashav place. But here it has a railing of 10 tefach, it's a full enclosure. Here it's chashiv, here it's not included. That's an exception. So we thought we had a right to Rav Dimi, but it turns out not necessarily so. Amalei Ravina Ravashi Toshma. Here comes a kasha on Rav Dimi. The Amalei Shlokish. Shlokish says, oh, Zoisei Meris. This is back to the halacha of the Levi who sold the field and retained his access to the Maaser Rishon, part of the field, right? Zoisei Meris, we learn from here. So based on this halacha, we'll learn, Hamoich Habayis Lachaver, you sell a home, V'amor Le'avna Shadyuta Al Yonishali, on condition that the gag, the rooftop, remains mine. Dyuta Al Yonishaloi, so it remains his. Now, this is an obvious halacha, as stated in the Mishnah. So the question was, my hilchasa, what's Rish Lakish's point? Is it getting more than just standard access to the roof? Yeah, Rav Zud Amar Shimrotza Lohitzi Bazizin Moitzi. He's retaining part rights in the airspace of the chutzar around it as well. That he can extend his ledges and his porches. Rav Papa Amar Shimrotza Livnis Al Gamba Boina. It gives him the right to rebuild the rooftop if it collapses. Now, V'isaka Daitach Mestama Leikani. Lama Liyamanas. So the question is that if according to Rav Dimi, Bistama Leikani, without adding the next phrase of Umka Varuma, you don't get rights to the rooftop. The buyer doesn't get a kinyan on the rooftop. So lama li almanas. So why does the seller have to add this point, almanas, I want to hold on to the rooftop? It's pretty obvious that he'll retain the rights to the rooftop. Right? So it's a kasha on Rav Dimi who says that standard procedure is that the buyer retains rights to the roof. Says the Gemara, Ahani Lei. Oh, the point of Amanas is to say the Nafal Hadar Bani Lei. That if it collapses, he has the right to rebuild it. That's something extra, which he wouldn't have had otherwise. But you're right. To give him standard access to the roof, even without saying anything, he retains that access. Okay, so we had a few shailas about Lashonis. Please give plainly eche yachlek b'nechasai. That means half. What about tnu chelek? We're not sure. We go 50-50 on that. We had some other examples of water being given on different shiurim pertaining therein. But Levi sold a field. I'm gonna ask that I keep the maaser rishon. Then that condition is binding. The Gemara explains. Although typically you cannot make a deal on something which doesn't yet exist, but here. All he meant to say is, I'm holding on to part of that field. I'm mishayer in the kinyan. Based on that, Rish Lakish says, a person's mishayer in his kinyan bias. Right? So he has extra rights because of that. So he can use the airspace of the chatzar for the zizin coming out of his rooftop, or he can rebuild his rooftop even if it collapses. Rav Dimi Nardo told us a chiddush that every kinyan bias, has three layers, sort of, three elements. The actual bias, the rooftop, and the mining rights beneath the house. And for that, you have to say umka varuma. And then we have the additional aspect of the airspace above the house and the ability to acquire a boyer vadus, which already exists in the property. And for that, you have to say the extra lashon, mitohim ara, va drum rukia. All the best to you, and atzlach rabba.